the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes, Stitcher, and NFL.com/Sheck.
S-H-E-K-Sheck.
Yeah, I'll start with that little tidbit. I said NFL.com/Sheck. Handsome Hank tells me, the man, and he would know because he programs the homepage at NFL.com, tells me that you can still use NFL.com/Sheck. It just directs you to the podcast page where a lot of our audio and video stuff lands anyhow, so check it out there. Good show coming up, nay, perhaps a great one, because we are going to be joined momentarily here by Jarvis Landry going into his sophomore season for the Miami Dolphins. Meantime, we have a gnat in here. I'm trying to get it. There's a flea in Studio 66 at something less than maximum strength. We're now bug infested, apparently. I don't know what gives here that I have to contend with fruit flies. How am I to do my job, Tommy Tye?
I don't know.
The glass in for black tie once again. What else is new?
I don't know. Fleas jumping at you. We're going to have to take care of this.
Yeah.
It's not my doing.
Well, I don't know about that. Let's talk to the man seated to my left. As usual, all the way from London, England. Oh, he's over the moon today, though, because he is our resident Miami Dolphins fan. Soon he'll be kibitzing with Jarvis Landry of his Dolphins. It's Handsome Hank, everybody.
He's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you doing?
Dave, I am very well indeed.
What, are you nervous in any way to talk to number 14?
I wouldn't say nervous. I'd say excited. I woke up, you know, early this morning, a little bit like Christmas, mm-hmm. and washed myself especially carefully, all that kind of thing. It's pretty exciting.
Speaking of washing, you caused a little bit of minor little Twitter kerfuffle for me by pointing out on our most recent podcast that when we were visited by not one but two Vereens, namely Shane Vereen, now of the New York Giants, and his younger brother Brock Vereen, both of whom proved to be positively delightful. They like talking about action movie heroes. They talked about Tom Brady versus Eli Manning. A lot of good stuff that they weighed in on. And in fact, there's a video for you to go back and look at. While you're looking at that, see if you can detect what Handsome pointed out, which is that I got really sweaty.
If you can't detect it, there may be something wrong with your computer.
Well, at least you couldn't see the whole thing. I had on a pink shirt, and somehow the camera doesn't catch
right.
it. But boy, I soaked that thing through.
Not
the whole way, but the pits and everything.
Well, everything.
Bosom.
Because it all met in the end. The Amazon is a series of small tributaries to begin with and then flows into a gigantic, massive, water-soaked river. Mm-hmm. And really, that's what your shirt looked like afterwards. I realized that some of the tributaries, you know, the things that flowed into it came from your armpits or under your breasts or your upper back.
So you're saying he's got the Rio Negro coming from his
pits. That's correct.
Okay.
It wasn't good, whatever happened.
It was not good.
The video, though, is good, and it's owed to the Vereen brothers, and I encourage you, Nate, the man, that you go and check that out. But for now, let's put that in the rearview mirror as well as the ugliness that was the woeful sweating that I did. It was I got a little dewy, that's all. But today, let's hope for better conditions when Jarvis Landry pays us a visit here, and Handsome and I have some stuff prepared for him, so we're looking forward to that. I want Jarvis Landry, who had a good rookie season, to have a better sophomore season.
Me too.
You know how
I'm on board with that.
And you know that I'm very good as an off-season trainer. I've done some good work in that field, helping pro football players be better versions of themselves by training them in the off-season. And so Jarvis Landry, I hope, will accept my offer to my tutelage over the few minutes we have with him. In the meantime, Handsome, big news, a big day on Wednesday in the NFL. Demaryius Thomas, Dez Bryant, Justin Houston, Dave Dameshek all signed deals to stay in the NFL.
What was
the biggest one to you?
To me, the biggest one was clearly the Dameshek deal.
Yeah.
Also, coincidentally, from what I understand, and we're still sorting through numbers, but coincidentally, also the highest paying contract of the
is that right?
PS4.
I did. You know what? I didn't want to check the numbers. I find that gauche. So I didn't.
Well, I think what happened. I mean, there are a lot of people talking about collusion between the Broncos and Cowboys for those two receiver contracts. But bizarrely, Dez Bryant and then Demaryius Thomas got almost exactly the same numbers. What I'm hearing is that your agent then just jumped on the back and was like, well, if those guys are getting 5 years, $40 million, that's what I want for my client. And by
college. Oh, is that all they got? Well, I mean, good for them. They're good kids, I'm sure. Hey, in the meantime, let's, before Jarvis rolls in here, and that'll be in a matter of minutes, I note a couple things we can talk about here. I wanted to go through our pal at over at the Around the NFL show, Mark Sessler, and he makes fine pages for Around the NFL at NFL.com. He just put out his best backup QB.
I saw, yeah, that's an exciting piece of content. People love, it's funny. I was talking to Mark and to his colleague Greg Rosenthal this morning. We could put out the top 1 through 32, the best safeties or linebackers. You'd have a list with Luke Kuechly in, or with Earl Thomas in, or whatever. Like, people love a list of backup quarterbacks ranking them 1 through 32.
It's a funny thing too that isn't it? As we approach Super Bowl 50, it's insane that it's never in the middle of a Super Bowl a starting quarterback hasn't gotten hurt and suddenly, hey, the backup has to go and save the day. I mean, I guess the closest I can think of was in Super Bowl 10 in the fourth quarter, Terry Bradshaw throws what proved to be the game-winning touchdown pass on a bomb to Lynn Swann, and he got concussed as he released the ball. So Mike Kruzek had to come in, the backup, and finish the game, but all he had to do was hand off because the Steelers were in the lead. But obviously, if you watch football, quarterbacks, like anybody else, get hurt. It's remarkable that that hasn't happened in a Super Bowl. Maybe this is the year, though.
Maybe it is. I'm trying to think, because has a quarterback been yanked as well? Did Steve Grogan come in for Tony Eason in Super Bowl 20? I have a feeling
that happened.
And then
Craig Morton got sat down in Super Bowl 12 for the Denver Broncos against the Cowboys. I don't remember the backup's name. I remember he wore number 14
and
had a beard.
I think Frank Reich may have come in and played some of one
probably
of Bill's
at the
Super
end
Bowl
of a game.
Losses, but I think that was more just to save Jim Kelly's blushes more than anything else.
And had – well, there was a couple of years ago. Well, would Brett Favre have played in that Viking Super Bowl had they survived that overtime? There was word that he would have had to sit that one out, I think.
Yep.
Who am I thinking of? Who recently wouldn't have been able to play?
Aaron Rodgers would have been a big question mark if the Packers had won.
Remember, his calf was
hurt again in that Seahawks game and ultimately the one that they lost. And so I'm sure there would have been, over that 2 weeks, just like we do every year with the Super Bowl, there's always some kind of part of a player's anatomy that that the world's media is focused on. Aaron Rodgers' calf would have been the thing.
His cough.
Calf.
And Jay Cutler would have missed that Super Bowl if they would have survived against the Packers.
Then we'd have got the joy of Caleb Haney.
I know. Caleb Haney, a starting quarterback in the Super Bowl, would have been terrific stuff. So that leads us to then, Handsome, Mark Sessler's ratings here, 1 through 32, ranking. How do you feel about this? At number one, Mark Sanchez?
Well, I guess
the best backup in the NFL?
Well, look, first of all, Mark Sessler's hedged his bets, because I actually believe that Mark Sanchez will wind up being the Eagles' starting quarterback, at least to begin this season.
Do you really?
I really do.
Because why?
Because I don't think Bradford will be healthy, and I don't think he'll be able to. I think Sanchez will have spent enough time in that offense, obviously, with being there last year, that he'll get the start. I also think it's a lot easier for Chip Kelly to yank Sanchez and put in Sam Bradford than it would be for him to take Sam Bradford out and put him up.
I think that's a weird, and I don't get the sense that Chip Kelly cares a great deal about what it means in PR from a PR standpoint. But if he doesn't start the guy who he basically swapped for Nick Foles, that's a pretty weird.
Well, he didn't think a whole lot of Nick Foles because he swapped him. So I'm not sure that the fact that he swapped him for Nick Foles means a whole lot. Regardless, I think that if Sanchez ends up being the starter and Sam Bradford is the backup, then I think he's the best one on the list. I think the Eagles do have they've got 1A and 1B, basically.
What do you make of at number two? He goes Mike Glenn for the Bucs. I'm surprised Mike Glennon is still a Buccaneer, as a matter of fact.
That's true. I don't know. I mean, Mike Glennon's one of those quarterbacks. He has that sort of Ryan Mallett from a couple of years ago. And I know that you're a big Ryan Mallett fan.
Yes,
so
I am.
Take this the wrong way. But Ryan Mallett from a couple of years ago was, and this is true of backup quarterbacks through the years, is they're the great unknown, and therefore, you know, you can project whatever you want to on people. Mike Glennon is, I'm sure, it would do fine, but I don't know that he's going to be a world beater.
Well, with the exception of Mark Sanchez, who was, what, the fifth overall pick way back when, or sixth
That's
overall?
Correct.
The Ryan Mallett could have been a first-round draft pick. He had first-round talent, at least. And yet Jimmy Garoppolo slots as number four, a guy who we've barely seen. Talk about the ultimate confidence that Belichick, anybody who plays for Belichick, gets. I mean, this is an indication of that. Jimmy Garoppolo is the fourth-best backup quarterback, sight unseen. And I'm not indicting Cecil. I think a lot of people just assume that
right.
He's going to come out and do well. And I guess I have to admit, I'm one of those people. I think I don't think they're going to miss a great deal.
I think they'll be fine. But, I mean, look, that team, well, we've talked about it already, and you've said it yourself, because since you've picked the Dolphins to win the division, that team has some issues, and one of those issues is going to be at receiver and at running back. So Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be asked to do a lot.
Mark Sessler, I should say, has at the bottom of his list Blaine Gabbert is 32. I think mm-hmm. that's a hard one. Although in terms of pedigree, he's another first round draft pick. And speaking of first round draft picks, at 31, Johnny Football. This is the Browns fan coming out in Mark Sessler. He's become such a pessimist over the years that now he already has Johnny Football, who a year ago, you know, less than a year ago, to Mark Sessler and Browns fans, was the future, and now he's been relegated to second from last among backup QBs.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
Who's your guy now? Matt Shaw?
Matt Moore's been the backup quarterback there for a while, and I think is probably one of those guys. You know, there are backups who have the promise, the Jimmy Garoppolo and those types who we just project, well, he's in that system, he'll be good. Matt Moore's done it in the NFL. He's been a starter. He's filled in. He's exactly what you want as a backup quarterback.
He also has listed, and he has them 1 through 32, but within that he has little names over the little sections of them. And 20 through 30 he refers to as just dudes. And what is just a dude about some of these names? Like Jimmy Clausen is just a dude. All right, I think mm-hmm. that one's fair. But he has Brock Osweiler. Jimmy Garoppolo is fourth, but Brock Osweiler, who was considered at least, if the rumors are true, that the Broncos at least gave some thought. I mean, this guy was a second-round draft pick, supposed to be a stud. I think he's an interesting guy. And I think we're going to see him at some point this year. I think we're going to see Brock.
I think that's very likely.
So interesting stuff. And then he has Matt Hasselbeck at 14, Christian Ponder down there at 15. And it's interesting to go through this list, because some of the names on there I'm a little surprised about to see that they're there. I didn't remember that Christian Ponder went to the Raiders.
He did, yeah. He went to the Raiders. And funnily enough, I spoke with Cecily yesterday about it. There's actually nothing that says that Christian Ponder is going to be the Raiders' backup. They have Matt McGloin, who was
right.
been a backup there for the last couple of years. Christian Ponder is no guarantee to win the second-string spot there.
So I guess the way to look at this list overall is, If you needed a quarterback and these guys were free agents, which would you most want? Is Mark Sanchez really the choice you would make?
I mean,
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
The choice I would make?
Yes.
No. Is it the choice I would make? No. I think I would probably be more inclined to go with someone who is the Garoppolo type that we don't know about, rather
right.
than knowing the ceiling of a Mark Sanchez or a Ryan Fitzpatrick. But that's just me. But I think NFL coaches, who, as you said, are a conservative breed, they want to go with the guy that they have seen do it before.
Yeah, I like, I go for young talent over mediocre veteran
mm-hmm.
experience. That means less to me. I like, I would take Mallett, and I would take Mike Glennon or Brock Osweiler before I would go with Bruce Gradkowski. We know what Bruce Gradkowski is, and
yes.
it's mediocre.
It's not pretty. How about Brandon Whedon? He's on the list somewhere there, isn't he?
Well, you know, that's another discussion that we've had is, so who would suffer the biggest drop-off from their starter if they lost him? Who, I mean, almost all NFL teams are doomed if they lose their starting QB.
What, who would have the biggest drop-off?
Would it
well,
be the Dallas
I don't
Cowboys?
Even know who the Packers' backup quarterback on there is, but that's my answer.
That's a great – yeah, who because is the Packers' backup here? Oh, Scott Tolzien.
There's your answer then. Aaron Rodgers to Scott Tolzien is a long, long fall.
Yeah, well, I think Brandon Whedon could hang a little bit better.
Oh, yeah, no, Brandon Whedon's fine. But, I mean, you know, from the best quarterback in the game today and one of the best of all time – down to Scott Tolzien is that's a precipitous drop.
All right. So now the other thing I wanted to discuss, also referring to something from the Around the League fellas, Dan Hanzus has out right now his most cursed franchises.
The pain rankings.
The pain rankings, 1 through 6, I believe they go.
I think they're going 1 through 7.
1 through 7.
Yeah, I can exclusively reveal.
But we don't know. We can't tip who number one is yet.
Well, I do know, but I won't tip it.
Who to you, Handsome, is the franchise that you would least like to be a fan? Who do you think is the most painful? It gets to that philosophical question. Would you rather go deep into the playoffs and have your heart broken, or would you rather be 0-7 and know that you have no chance?
Yeah, okay. Well, the answer to your question for me is the Detroit Lions. Who he is featuring actually today.
You think the Lions are the worst team to be a fan of?
I think the Lions have... their history is as bad as it gets.
Really? But they haven't suffered any, you know, there aren't any.
But that's the point. There's nothing memorable. They've got an 0-16 season.
Yeah.
I don't think they've won.
Which you never can wash off. You know, that 0-16 is one of those things that no matter what greatness you achieve after, that always is there.
That will be there with you forever.
That's right. So the New York Yankees are the only major league team to ever blow a 3-0 lead. You don't know. You can win a whole bunch of other stuff, but it never erases that.
And
one.
The other thing is that those Lions players of, what was it, 2008, 9? Those players aren't popping champagne when the last defeated team wins a game.
I mean, I hear you. It's an interesting point. The Vikings, though, have had a few eras, and I think people will pass them over for maybe the Browns. I bet the Browns will be 1 or 2. They haven't come up yet on Hanzus.
The Browns haven't come up yet.
So they'll be up near the top. But the Vikings should be, because they've had several eras of being really good. They played in 3 Super Bowls in the 71 was their first Super Bowl. They lose 3 of them, though. They lose to Pittsburgh, Oakland, and Kansas
Miami.
City. And Miami, right.
So they lost 4.
They lost 4, right. Then they have the 15-1 team with the Gary Anderson kick. Tommy Kramer had some good teams. Brett Favre got them to overtime of the NFC title game. I think that's a pretty. I mean,
that covers
the decades.
But they've had success. Like, if you're a fan, remember what Dan's looking at here is the pain that a fan's had to go through. And yes, I understand that losing an overtime in an NFC championship game, losing a Super Bowl, losing like they did when Gary Anderson missed the field goal, those are all painful moments. But the build-up to that moment was victory, excitement, yay, go
no,
team.
That's
the
Detroit adult Lions. Pain. The Detroit Lions are a dull pain. It's a football season again. Shoulder shrug. What else are we? I guess they're not going to be any good. Same old Lions is one thing. It's another thing to be sitting at Thanksgiving and saying, like, I think this might be the year, you know? And then at Christmas, hey, we're in the playoffs. We won the NFC Central once again. And then to get to January, you lose to the Dallas Cowboys or whatever. And then it's January, and you're in the Twin Cities, and it's minus 11 degrees outside. And you think, well, now I have nothing to keep me warm until sun breaks through in 4 months.
But you're saying that feeling,
that's
the highs that you had at Thanksgiving and Christmas, is worse than living in Detroit and following a Lions team, which hasn't won a playoff game in something like 20 years.
I know, but again, that's a dull pain versus the sharp pain of I think we're going to do it, and then having your hopes dashed. You don't want to be able to see the peak of the mountain and then get knocked down the hill, do you?
Well, at least Detroit has the Red Wings. They're the title town of hockey.
I hear you, Tommy Ty, but that is – well, first of all, that's a fairly recent phenomenon, I guess only the last 15 or 20 years. But that's neither. Well, I mean, there is something to be said for what you're saying.
Right.
Is that at least
at the very least they have something to get them through the winter.
Right. And yeah, and they have the Pistons, and so they just turn the page. Well, the Lions were done back in early October. I've been focused on Pistons and Red Wings. The poor people up in Minnesota. What are they supposed to do? The T-Wolves? I mean, come on. The Wild? I don't know. So I would go Browns.
You know who else is on, I believe, is coming up is the Chargers. I think that's an interesting one because they're a little more like the Vikings, but perhaps without even – maybe they're a better choice for you if that's the direction you're going in, because they've had some of the highs, but they haven't actually made it to the Super Bowl. So they had those Schottenheimer seasons where they went 13-3 and 14-2 and then you know, lost in heartbreaking moments, or actually sometimes in very just – formatted kind of the Patriots just come into town and stomp on them.
And like we've talked about in the late 70s and early 80s, there were two seasons where they were the best team in the AFC and they were always a contender. They never even got so much as to a Super Bowl. They never got Air Coryell. That era is for a team is, I mean, they were revolutionary and teams mimicked what they were doing, and they were, like I say, the AFC's bully, and yet they never got over the humps.
And then when they did go to the Super Bowl, which was actually unexpected. They weren't there at no point then were they the favorites in the AFC, and they went with a team which had, you know, not a whole lot of
talent
on there.
That was
vile. And then when they got there, it was an awful display.
Yeah, arguably the worst.
I think
performance
the worst
in a Super Bowl that I've ever seen, and that includes the one by the Patriots against the Bears in '85. All right, so is he coming in there, fellas behind the glass? All right, here he comes, everybody. Get yourself ready, Handsome Hank, emotionally and otherwise.
This is
here
exciting.
Here comes number 14, Jarvis Juice Landry.
Dave Demashek.
All right, here we are in Studio 66, and it's good times indeed. First of all, we say hello to my man over here to my far left. He is from London, England, but more importantly today, he is our resident Miami Dolphins fan. How you feeling, Handsome Hank?
I am very excited. Jarvis Landry sitting right next to me.
Wait a second. He is.
He is.
That is him, as a matter of fact. Number 14 from the Miami Dolphins going into his sophomore season after an impressive rookie season. Jarvis Landry, or should I call you Juice? What's the poop, fella?
Oh, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to see you. Your hair's looking strong. You're fresh off your ESPYs visit. How was that? Good times?
It was amazing. It was amazing to see some of the athletes, the world's best, you know, and just have a night, you know, that was just for us, you know, and see people celebrate, you know, dress up, show their best. And I think it was a good experience for me.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because every football player, every professional athlete doesn't get to go to things like that. You have to distinguish yourself. Now, the question I have for you before we go any further, Jarvis, I hope this isn't just a social call. I'd like it to be a professional one as well. Are you content with where Jarvis Landry finished, or do you want to be better?
Man, for me, I'm never content. You know, I'm always in a constant battle with myself, always trying to, I don't want to say, really prove anything to anybody else, but, you know, at the same time, just – you know, never let success define me. Just continue to, you know, change the standard, change the definition of what success means to me, and continue to raise the standard, the bar. And I think that that's one of the things that drives me, and that's one of the things that people see with my passion and with my energy on the field. You know, that's what the juice is. You know,
I like it. You know what? I think we're on the same page, all of us then. I'm glad that that's your answer, because over the next few minutes – I'd like to mentor you. I'd like to push you to be a better Juice Landry in 2015. We might go through some hell, but when we come through on the other side, I think you're going to be a better Jarvis Landry.
I'm up for it.
All right, cool. So one of the things that we have to work on is your focus. You know, we want you to, you know, be able to do it in the clutch when it counts. It's not just about catching the pigskin, you know. It's about catching other valuable stuff, like, for instance, a lit candle. All right. See, you passed the first test.
He's got it. Focus.
Okay. So now we're rolling. Right. Now we're going. Handsome Hank, why don't you ask some questions here if you have anything on your mind. One thing I'd like to show you, though, is, you know, you mentioned Odell Beckham as you were walking in here. Of course, you two are closely connected, not just from the LSU days, but because you guys like to trade one-hand catches here. ODB got maybe a hair more attention because he made that one catch. But Jarvis Landry, at the end of our little conversation here and our little drill session, maybe you come out ahead of that.
Well, we will see. We're definitely challenging each other right now. We're kind of working on our pregame ritual for the.
Oh, is that right? Well, so, how so specifically?
Just work. Kind of got around that. You know, we were going to do something big for the Monday Night Football, and of course, he's always done his pregame thing, and so we'll put something together for everybody.
Handsome, what would you like to know? You're the resident Miami Dolphins fan. What sort of information do you need from number 14?
Well, so during your rookie season, there must have been one moment when you've come from college. Was there a moment where you're like, wow, I'm in the NFL, and so you were lined up against Darrell Revis, or you saw Tom Brady on the other side of the field? What was the moment where it suddenly struck you, like, I've made it, I'm in the NFL?
Man, I think, every week for me was kind of like, wow, you know, like you said, going against Darrell Revis, you know. But I think my first experience was being at practice and seeing Cameron Wake, who's all of 260, 270, looked like a monster, freak, running me down from the back, you know, after I caught a pass, and thinking like, wait, I can't make that move. I just got to go, you know. So just seeing how the game speed, you know, the caliber of players, you know, and the guys around this league that's helping evolve, you know, what NFL players are. Mm-hmm. That was kind of my eye opener.
Well, first thing, Jarvis, shuttlecock.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, very good.
That's
very good.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, what is that like to look? I mean, you've made it to pro football and all that, but it must be. Is there a little bit of intimidation? You look across the sideline and say, that's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Isn't there's got to be some mystique with that team in particular? No.
I think it's it's one of those salute things. You know, mm-hmm. I respect what you do, but you know, today is our day. Today is, you know, it's about the Dolphins. You know, it's about.
I guess the first game you played was
right,
your you know day.
I mean?
You beat him in week one last year.
That's what it's about. You know, I think. You know, I think when you think about guys like Tom Brady, you know, Bill Belichick, you know, when you say those names, they feed off competition. Mm-hmm. They feed off winning in big games, the clutch games. And that's kind of one of the things personally I take into myself, you know, being able to step up when it's right, you know, make the consistent plays, but also, you know, feed off competition, let that drive me to be better.
Yeah, I agree with that. Blue Frog! No flies on you.
Blue Frog makes a difference.
Handsome, anything else you need to know for Dolphins Nation?
So year two, it's kind of interesting how you're going to go in just in your second season, but you kind of are going to be the most senior receiver in the room. You've got Greg Jennings, you've got Kenny Stills, you've got Devontae Parker. What are you going to be able to share with them about the offense that you've played a year in to help them? And then how can they help you get better as well?
For me, being able to know the coaching staff, you know Coach Lazor, know my position coach and Coach O'Keefe and Coach McGagan, and just have the opportunity to, you know, just kind of know how they work, how they operate. You know, and be able to share that with Greg, who's coming from a different offense. You know, being able to help them with the offense, and Greg being able to, you know, mentor me. You know, tell me how he's played nine years. You know, and you know, allow me to help me be a pro, and just trade knowledge. I think that's the biggest thing that helps groups, helps, you know, any team, you know, get better and get to the next level. It's just being able to trade knowledge and help each other out. I think that's the biggest thing.
Let me tell you something. That Greg Jennings is a lot of fun. I think you two are going to have a good time.
He's coming here tomorrow, I believe.
Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
I look forward to seeing him. Here's another part of our drills that we're going to go through here. You need to have a steady hand, and I don't think there's any greater test for humanity of having a steady hand in Operation. Have you ever played Operation?
I have never played Operation.
You're familiar with the game.
I'm familiar with the game.
Okay, all right, go ahead. I want you to, you know what you want? I want you to go there, get the heart there, because that's what, every time you make a big catch, that's what you do. You take your opponent's heart.
I think I got it.
He did it!
Got it.
And he's still alive.
This is impressive. This is really doing some good work there. You're very good at this. And the only thing else I would really say off of that is this, Jarvis Landry. Loose change!
Whoa.
How much did he come up with there? I think you came up with like You came up with four coins? I threw five at you.
I got it. It's right here. I caught them all.
He got it.
That's gamesmanship. The official will catch that on the instant replay. Handsome, any other
questions? I've got another one. So you went to London last year. I'm from London. I don't know if you noticed that. And you're going back again this year. Can you do a British accent for me?
A British accent. Yeah, I could do a little bit. I don't even know what to say. How about
I'm excited to be playing in London.
Today's not your day, Darrell Revis.
Today's not your day, Darrell Revis.
Yeah, maybe that's a good idea for when you're playing against the Jets. Against
It'll
Darrell
freak
Revis,
them out.
You should
Why are you talking like
in
that?
In British. It's a good idea.
It would be jarring. Human baby!
No, we can't.
Well done. Well done.
Careful of the baby.
I want to make it clear that that is not, in fact, a living human baby.
No. But I did look like a natural, though, right?
You were very tender with that. I hope the ladies out there are watching. I'm very impressed by that. We talk about Odell Beckham, listen, I talked to Honey Badger about this. I've talked to every LSU Tiger that I've been in the company with. Answer me this. I want you to see something here. This is LSU. You were on this team. There's Zach Mettenberger. He started in the NFL last year. Give me that picture back here. Zach Mettenberger started in the NFL. Jeremy Hill, gangbusters rookie season. Odell Beckham, number 14. There's Lael Collins, who should have been a first-round draft pick
overall.
Answer me this. How did you lose any games, let alone? why did you score 278 points every game? Look at that team. What happened?
I knew that was coming, but, man, I don't know. You know, sometimes when, you know, you think you have all the pieces, you know, just a lot of things don't go.
All right, that excuses one game in Tuscaloosa against Alabama. What happened against the other teams?
Turnovers, man. Turnovers.
It's the hat. Do you want to blame the hat?
No,
go ahead, blame
never.
Les Miles if
never.
You want.
One of the greatest coaches that I've ever played for.
You enjoy him?
I love him.
Really?
Love
He's
him.
A fun guy. Yeah, he seems it. Now, you play for Joe Philbin, who seems like a very nice man. He really seems like a very sort of thoughtful fella. The transition from Les Miles eating the grass and all that stuff to Joe Philbin, though, must be a pretty severe difference. Is that accurate?
It's definitely very, very different. I mean, if you know Coach Miles, you know his humor is kind of out there a little bit, you know, and you know, Coach Philbin is a little bit monotone, a little bit, you know, he's the same guy, same person, you know. But, you know, both guys, you know, both coaches, great coaches, great families. And I think they do a great – they both – that's what I can say. They both did, you know, brought the family feel to the team. They both kind of do that, and I like that.
Do you do a Coach Philbin impression?
I can't do it.
You know what I'd like to see is Joe Philbin with your hair. That would be
an
interesting
look.
That would be good. I'd also like to see this. Rocket ship! All right. I mean, you know, I don't know what else I can do to test you on this one. Answer me this, though, real quick. Handsome, hand me those. They're two Dolphins helmets.
Okay.
I'd like to see if maybe Jarvis has any opinion on this. I mean, there's something. I used to always say, Jarvis, look, here was the thing. The Dolphin on the Miami Dolphins hat wears a football helmet. You know, he's a football-playing Dolphin.
Right.
But here's what's weird. He doesn't play for the Dolphins. And look, this is what the Dolphins hat looks like. He plays for some team that wears an M on the side of its hat. You see? Now, you can't be too picky because how many Dolphins in the world play football?
Right.
So I always was bothered by that until I saw this. Now, this new Dolphin, he doesn't wear a helmet. Aren't we concerned about his safety?
I think he looks more dangerous, though. He looks more fierce. This
yeah,
one's kind of like,
so.
This one's kind of like
guy,
smiling, like he's in a show. This one's like, he's hungry.
He's hungry. He's gonna score.
I don't get hungry off of this. I don't. He's hungry.
Well,
I'm worried about what's gonna happen.
That one's not hungry. That one's a fat dolphin. Yeah. That's what Jarvis is trying to say. He's being polite. That dolphin will be caught from behind.
Yeah.
This dolphin, no one's catching that dolphin.
Who signed this hat?
Tony Sperano signed it for me. It's one of the few Tony Sperano signed Dolphins helmets out there.
Jarvis Landry, last question. 2015, yeah, I got the Patriots, you got the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins. Who would win in a fight? If a Dolphin, a Jet, a Patriot, and a Bill, which is Buffalo Bill, who would win that fight? Isn't it weird, too, that the Buffalo Bills named their football team after the man who tried to kill all the buffalo? Isn't that weird? Their logo is of a buffalo, and then their team name is the guy who tried to kill all those buffalo. It's weird, isn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah. Who would win that fight, though?
I'll say us.
If it's in the sea.
Yeah. Why wouldn't it be in the sea?
That's a good question. Exactly. Why wouldn't it be? Yeah, it's a stupid question.
Well, the jet doesn't survive in the sea.
Exactly. So they're out.
Can I tell you something, Jarvis, before you go?
Tell me.
I want to tell you, I'm impressed by you. You went through the crucible that was my training drills here. You caught everything save one penny there. Otherwise, you were nice to Handsome Hank.
Of course.
His annoying, silly questions you handled with aplomb. All this amounts to one thing. I got great news for you. I've decided it. The 2015 AFC East champions are going to be the Miami Dolphins, largely owed to number 14. I think you're going to be a better you after what we've just gone through.
Absolutely.
And so, too, are the Miami Dolphins. What do you think of that? Is that it? Did I get it right there? Are those standings accurate?
That looks great to me.
All right.
That looks great to me.
Look who's there at 1-5. Darrell Revis's Jets after you smoke them twice, probably.
In London.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Week 4. Curtis, I'll see you there.
Yeah. Little English accent, too.
That's right. That's right. Work on your Philbin accent. That's the one thing we got to do. And we also got to come up with a better song. The Miami Dolphins.
What a lip.
Miami Dolphin. Miami Dolphin number one. Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins. How about an Englishman, though?
An Englishman.
Go ahead. You, real quick before you go, cook something up. An Englishman.
All right.
And Jarvis Landry. Do it, Juice.
So are we singing or am I just beboshing?
I want you to work something out.
A duet.
I'm a Steelers guy. It wouldn't be right for me to sing a Dolphins song.
Too late.
Miami Dolphins.
Miami Dolphins.
Miami Dolphins number
one.
Done. That works.
We should have quit.
We probably should have.
No, it's all right, though.
I kid. Listen, Jarvis Landry, you're a delight. Stay healthy and cook up something good. We're going to be watching. I can't wait to see what happens when you take on Odell Beckham. And I say this year, let this LSU Tiger get all the headlines, right?
We'll make it happen, baby.
Looking forward to it. All right, there he goes. The great Jarvis Landry. Handsome, give him a hug.
I don't know about a hug.
Just an awkward hug. Like, bring
like an awkward
hug. Yeah,
like,
it's all good. It's all good.
All right, there we go. The great Jarvis Landry, everybody.
Oh, yeah. You're listening to Dave Damashek.
Well, that's that, Handsome. How are you?
That was pretty exciting, Dave. Thank you very much for letting, you know, one small part of my dreams come true.
He said on his way out of the studio, he said, I'll see you in London,
yeah,
right?
I think
he even said it legitimately. I think he tried to do it in an English accent. See you in London, right? I think he did
think
say
he
it.
Did. Was that what that was?
I think that's what he was trying to do.
Now that you say it.
But your song is emblazoned into my brain for all of time. Yeah. That's for sure. Hey, he really did. I threw about 67 cents at him, and he caught all but a dime, I think.
He dropped a quarter.
Is that what it was?
So in change, he dropped more than he caught, but at the same time, in coins, he caught more than he dropped.
So he did successfully catch a rocket, a human baby.
A blue frog.
A blue frog and a shuttlecock.
And a pretend candle.
Yes.
Where did you get your pretend candle from?
Don't worry about where I get my stuff from. And he also never played Operation and yet successfully extracted the heart, just as he shall do over and over again in 2015.
That's right.
If the football gods favor him.
What's up, guys?
This upcoming season.
Whoa,
yes, Black Tie. You're back in now? What happened?
I was in for the video.
It's very jarring for the audience that they hear Black Tie's voice, and then they hear Tommy Tie's voice, and they hear Black Tie's voice.
Well, you know, the more and more we do and the more videos and guests we have in here, we have to set things up. So that's why we have a team back here. It's not just me anymore. So, Sean to, you know, Brandon McGinnis, you know, we all get the job done. But great stuff from Hank. Great stuff from Jarvis. Good stuff from you, Shaq.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Why did
one of Dave's throws
in some way?
No, it was totally fine. You know, it's good stuff.
One of your throws was a little wild.
Yeah,
I think he can rely on the rocket. I think he can rely on Tannehill to hit him, you know, closer to the numbers and hands than the rocket. He still made the catch,
and
but
he threw too many coins at him.
You know what? Maybe I like best about the entire thing was when I showed him the standings for 2015 AFC East, that his team sat atop the division, his reaction was,
yeah,
that's right.
Of course
that's the case. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, wow, thank you. No, yes, I agree, basically. I like that confidence, and it only further entrenches my opinion that that team is indeed going to win the division. You know what we didn't ask him about, though, Handsome? You touched on it a little bit. Was Devontae Parker. I'm curious to know if there's much to really report on the guy who's got a bad foot, but I'm curious, if you watch a lot of college football, if you watched Devontae Parker, especially with Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, he's going to be good. That's a really terrific duo that they suddenly have, and if they get some good health out of Jordan Cameron for once, I mean, he has some real pass catchers
right
there, along with the nice vet Greg Jennings
and Kenny Stills, who they traded for from the Saints as a deep threat. They got a lot of weapons.
A good offensive
line. Going to be a fun
line,
team to watch.
A good defense. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not just saying that to curry favor with you or with Jarvis Landry. I really think that team's going to win the division this year. So, congratulations again to the Miami Dolphins on their upcoming division crown. Thanks to Jarvis Landry. Thanks to Handsome Hank. I hope it was a good time for you, and I hope there's some good pictures that come out of it. Thanks for your beautiful song, the new fight song. We'll have to send that off to the Dolphins.
And that legitimately was a video, so check it out on NFL.com and NFL Now.
And the one we did with the Vereen brothers earlier in the week. We'll be back next week with more Huey and Applesauce. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. Thin slice of heaven.